Welcome once again to the Quincast Weekly Wrap-Up. Each and every week, we will chat about happenings in the world of entertainment, sports, and wrestling. My name is Chrissy Rios, founder of Quinn Media, and I'm here with my co-founder and co-host, Seth Knupp. Make sure to give us a follow on Twitter. You can find Seth at Fearless Fandom, and you can follow me at The Quinn Bee. And the rest of the cast and crew can be found over at Quinn Media. So first up, let's talk about the big box office opening for the Lego Movie. So the numbers came in at $69.1 million for the weekend, and that figure was including a pretty slow opening on Friday, but Saturday was a huge boom, an 80% increase, which is really, really big for an opening weekend. But I know even in the showing that I went to, it was an 8 p.m. showing and the theater was sold out.
So we went to a 3D showing at 7 o'clock on Friday night, and the theater wasn't sold out, but it was pretty full. We had to have terrible seats due to the fact that I got them kids packs that have like the little bag of popcorn and the little drink and the little fruit snacks and everything in it. That was your cat. So I get him these packs, and why they're, you know, packing everything up, we're taking way too much time at the concession stand for my comfortability. And then I walk away, because now at our theater, it's an AMC, and they have the magic soda machines, as I like to call them.
Oh, yeah.
The ones where you, like, touch it, and you can choose the different flavors.
Mm-hmm.
So I walk over to that, and I'm getting their lemonades, and that's taking forever, and people are waiting behind me. And then I have to get my giant cherry vanilla Coke, because I have to have my giant cherry vanilla Coke. And at one point, Mikey, like, walks away, and I'm turning around, my kid's turning 6 in the morning of the time of this movie, and he's like, "Daddy, you dropped your gloves." I'm like, "Well, go get them, please. You know, theater's packed, because this isn't the only movie out this weekend." And he's like, "They're gone." So I start freaking out, because I had just bought these gloves a few weeks prior, and they're like $40 gloves, because I'm an idiot and have to have gloves that I can touch my phone with, because I can't go anywhere without touching my phone. And so then I start looking for my gloves, and I put my soda down. And I go over to talk to somebody at the desk, and they're calling somebody on the radio, and they're like, "Duh, we don't know where they are." And I'm like, literally, they were 3 feet away from where I'm standing right now less than a minute ago. So, you know, they couldn't have gone too far. And I turn around and look at the ticket counter, and I can see them up on the little ticket desk. So I walk over to grab them, and I grab them, and my kids are still running around looking for them in the sea of humanity at the concession stand. And I finally get them, and I'm like, "All right, we need to go in and get our seats." So we're almost to the doors to go into the theater, and I'm like, "Oh shit, I left my soda on the counter." So then I have to run back for my soda, and my kids don't realize that I turned around. So then they're like, "Daddy," it was a nightmare. So when we finally got into the theater, we were sitting in the, you know how the sections are usually divided by a walkway, and you have your theater seating in the back and then the crappy seats in the front. We actually had to be in the second row of the front for this movie. So right away I had a really negative, it was just a nightmare getting in there. And I'm quite the theater goer, so usually I don't have experiences like this. I'm usually there early enough, and whenever you get kids involved, it has a tendency to go a different way. But none of that had anything to do with the movie. So, you know, as far as the money goes, it doesn't surprise me in the least. I'm sure that there was plenty of good word of mouth coming out of Friday night. I know that if I had anybody to talk to in this world other than my children, I would have recommended it to everyone, because I thought it was fantastic from start to finish. And I know that the reviews coming out of it, the early reviews, and then the reviews coming out of Friday night, people on the internet and everything talking about it were, you know, just as enamored as I was. It was pretty obvious that it was going to be a popular movie.
Yeah, I think, though, it was one of those movies that was going to appeal to not just the kid audience, but the adult audience. And when we got to the theater, I was kind of surprised that there was no parking at all, because generally, you know, this theater that we go to, there's parking everywhere. And I had every thought process that it was for something else. It couldn't have been for this movie. And when we got there, we were lucky we got there early enough so I wasn't sitting second row from the front. But, you know, we didn't see the 3D because the 3D only goes until 7 o'clock there. But I don't think it was a bad experience, even in the regular, you know, viewing of the movie. I thought that the plot line and the visuals of that movie were great. I imagine they had to be amazing in 3D.
Yeah, I mean, it was exactly what I expected. Like I said, I've convinced the kids that anything animated needs to be seen in 3D, and that's mostly because I feel that anything animated needs to be seen in 3D. I think there's a lot of people who disagree because the colors are usually kind of muted because you're wearing, kind of dark shaded glasses or whatever. Anyway, the movie itself, was fantastic, and I did enjoy the 3D experience, as I always do, and I felt like it was going to be amazing no matter what once you really saw what it was visually. From the trailers, I expected kind of an animated movie. From the things Lego has done, I kind of expected it to be somewhere in the realm of the video games. So I didn't necessarily expect it to be 100% Lego. I thought that, like the video games, they'd have aspects of the world that wouldn't be Lego built, and that the characters would be able to move independent of what a Lego figure really would. And as it turns out, that wasn't what they did at all. They made Lego characters come to life in a Lego world, 100% Lego. And just that in itself impressed the shit out of me.
That aspect played a big role for me, but I really, really liked just how they turned them into. I mean, I've played the Lego games and I've, you know, watched other Lego movies, but this one was, it was really kind of a unique take, I felt. The way that they really built it, the storyline to me seemed more legit, I guess, for lack of a better way of putting it. It just had a sort of a realness, like a real feature film feel to it. Even though it was Legos.
Honestly, I felt that it came off, and I've said this to a few people, that it's not just for Lego lovers or, people with young kids or something like that. It's actually a really, really good movie. Very unexpectedly, actually. I didn't go in thinking that it was going to have a deep storyline. I figured it was going to be like a lot of films that are targeted at kids, in the, kind of 6 to 10 range or whatever, where it's gonna have a lot of goofy jokes, it's gonna have a lot of slapstick, and it did have those things to an extent, but it always felt to have more of an intelligent message. I mean, from the very beginning, I felt like it was making some pretty crazy political statements, actually. I found myself saying wow more than once in the first 15 minutes because I felt like it really made fun of society. Like it really became a satire on our society really fast. And then you come to find out as the movie goes on, and I'm not going to spoil anything for anybody, but there's a reason why it was built like that. And the universe all serves this crazy storytelling purpose, which, in all of its glory, I felt like that's what it did best. It told a fantastic story. And you followed it, and it was fresh, and I felt like it was never ahead of the movie. A lot of times when you go see movies these days, the audience is always ahead of it, and you know what's going to happen 5 steps before it happens. And I never felt like that in this movie. I felt like it kept you in a place where you were following the story, and it was so enjoyable that you didn't even realize there was a bigger story being told until it really hits you in the face. And I loved it. I absolutely loved that about it.
Yeah, I agree. It did not, and you are so dead on with movies now that, you know, halfway through it, you can pretty much say how it's going to end. You know, you can see it coming, and
Yeah, I mean, even movies where they play it off that it's a twist or there's a swerve plot, blah blah blah. They're never any good, and it's always disappointing to find out that it's some stupid plot plot device that leaves holes in the story. And that's another thing that this did. It didn't leave holes in the story. There, if you really want to break it down from a film perspective, it didn't leave big holes in the plot when it did actually have a bit of a turn. I don't even know if you could call it that. It was more of just they built to it, and then when it finally happened, it was big. And it was actually bigger than the movie itself, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was well done. It was intelligently done, and it didn't. It also, in my opinion, I thought, you know, for a kid, it didn't play off to be, I think when kids watched it, it wasn't so elevated that they wouldn't understand what was happening. But it was intelligent enough that it didn't also, you know, treat it like, well, it's just a bunch of dumb kids watching it.
Right. There was never a moment where I felt my intelligence was insulted by sitting there watching it with my kids. Where I feel like, as you said, a lot of movies where that kids are watching these days that are out there for kids really do that. They really insult the viewer's intelligence. And this movie, I never felt like this movie even came close to it, to be honest. And the character development is a big part of that, you know. Wild style, she was fantastic. And I love Elizabeth Banks, by the way, like, huge fan. And honestly, Will Arnett as Batman, like, that, it was so perfect. I came out of the movie, and when I talked to people about it since, I have to make a comment on what a douche Batman is, and how he was the perfect like plot device in that part to be that douchey boyfriend that you know Batman would be. And then when he goes in as Bruce Wayne into the boardroom and he's like an even bigger douche as Bruce Wayne, oh God, it was absolutely perfect. And then the funniest part is he's this super douche, but when he goes into the boardroom and President Business is there, he's totally in love with Bruce Wayne. Like, he's like, oh, that's such a good idea. We need to do that. And it's like, he's in love with the douchey character, which just made it even funnier when, you know, with the payoff.
I loved the Batman character. There was no question. I mean, when I walked out of there, that was one of my favorite things. However, there was one character interaction in the movie that still is my favorite, and it was the interaction between Superman and Green Lantern.
Yeah, my kids are still quoting that.
I'm still quoting that.
Yeah, I think that was their favorite too. So they're compliment broke to you to having the same exact sense of humor as a six-year-old.
Hey, you know, I've worked very hard at maintaining that too. I honestly, it's my favorite part. Like, I've been quoting it for days. So it's by far one of my favorite scenes in the movie. And, you know, especially when they become roommates.
I was just going to say, there's a few of them, but definitely when Superman makes the comment about how it couldn't get any worse. And then, and Green Lantern pops up right next to him, and he's like, hey, neighbor. that was pretty classic.
And anybody got any kryptonite?
the best part of the entire movie, though, had to have been when Batman makes a comment about how people wouldn't just fly up with a warp drive or whatever it is that they need. And then Han Solo pulls up in the Millennium Falcon. That was perfect. It was perfect. I know that I have read a few, like, the only negative reviews I've seen of this movie talk about how the story doesn't stay in one place for too long. And I think you can't go and see a Lego universe movie and not expect certain cameos. You know, that they had to drop the Star Wars Legos in there, and they had to have the DC Heroes Legos in there, because those are very big lines for them, and especially Star Wars. And I mean, you know, one of the reasons I look forward to this movie so much coming out was because I am such a Lego nerd, and my Star Wars Lego collection is almost out of hand at this point. And I loved that part because I collect Star Wars Legos. So when the Millennium Falcon, which I have, by the way, drops into the movie, I was just like, yes, it's about time. Like, that's what I paid money to see, is, you know, Star Wars Legos in the movie. We need more of that.
Well, it
But,
was the whole theater erupted when
Of
that
course.
scene happened. Everybody loved it. But to go back and just really quickly touch on when you had said that somebody, one of the reviews said that it bounces around a bit. At the end of the day, though, it is a kids' movie. And
Right.
that attention span for kids or for my me too, it helps when it kind of bounces around a bit. It keeps them focused.
Well, and in the end,
So
you realize, when you get the payoff of the story, once again, being vague to not spoil, it makes sense because you're not just telling a story for kids, but you're kind of you come to realize that it's a story being told, by a kid. I mean, the whole movie is a story that an imagination is thinking up as it goes along. So that in itself could explain away any of the jolting that someone could feel bouncing around the universe. It's very purposeful as a storytelling device in this particular film. So not to be, dismissive of anybody's opinion, but I do feel like complaining that it bounces around too much is a bit, ridiculous
Well,
when it comes
especially
to this film.
for this movie.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It, like I said, it's part of the story. It's not like it does it just for the sake of doing it because it's not coherent. It's actually part of the storytelling device so that you can, be part of what is going on in this universe. In the end, it was me and my boys, and we all loved it, and we haven't stopped talking about it, and we went out and spent money on it, as far as buying Lego sets the next day. So, in that regard, it worked. Got us to spend more money on Legos, so,
Well,
yeah.
that's the win for the industry then.
Absolutely.
Well, I know on Saturday night you also went to go to a TNA live event. What'd you think of that? Because I've been to several, and I've been to big giant pay-per-views, and I've been to road shows like what you went to, and I haven't been to one in a long time, so I'm kind of interested to hear, how you felt it went.
Well, to start, like you said, we left Saturday, and this was in DeKalb, which is west of Chicago, and I currently reside outside of Madison in Wisconsin. So it was about a 2 hour drive, an hour and 45 on a normal day, and as we got further south, I started to think that maybe it would have been better if we just skipped it because the highways really started to turn to crap. We got a lot of snow in the area on that day, which was just perfect, by the way. As I said, we were in Toys R Us buying Legos earlier in the day, and we were in there for 2 hours because of a giveaway they were doing. And when I came out, I had over an inch of snow on my car. So at that point, I should have just said, you know what? This isn't worth it. But we made the trek, and it ended up being totally worth it. The seats we had were, a row and a half away behind the announce team, as I just did air quotes, because as I learned for a TNA roadshow, there is no such thing, which makes sense. They're not on TV. Why would they be there? And then one of my sons got to sit right on the rail, and the other one sat next to him, obviously. So we were right by the entrance. So, we had that perspective as well. All in all, at the end of the day, it was good entertainment. The kids had fun. There's a lot of things that I'll talk about that are mostly just, wrestling things. For instance, the ring, and I don't know if this is just the one that they carry around for these tours, but you could tell that it had just been run through the ringer. It was sagging in the middle, and it just the spring was just terrible. And the skirt, that goes around it, the impact letters were just peeling off. Yeah, I thought that was a little bush league, like. I understand you're only going to be performing. And like I said, the weather was terrible, so the crowd wasn't great. But I did feel for a show like that in essentially a gymnasium at a college, because that's pretty much what the Convocation Center is at NIU, which is my alma mater, by the way. They had a good crowd. The crowd was in it for the majority of the show, and they did good at crowd interaction. So I give all the credit in the world to the pros coming out and really continuing to put on a show, despite the fact that, like I said, the crowd had been diminished due to the weather, and it was in a small town anyway. But still, I did feel like, you always put your best foot forward, and when your impact letters are peeling off the side of your setup, that's not exactly a good sign. And I also do have to, I have to make this comment because it just cracked me the fuck up. But Borash was doing the intros, and at the same time that he would do the intros, he'd go over to his Mac and like hit the button on his little iTunes thing to play the entrance music.
No way.
Oh yeah, it was that. It was that.
Bush
You
League.
know, yeah, Bush League, exactly. That's. I didn't want to repeat myself, but that's. I mean, that's the way to put it.
Oh my gosh,
And
that's awful.
yeah,
It's funny, awful. I
right.
mean, it's
Like
kind of, you just
it.
can't imagine for, and it's not like they're the neighborhood wrestling joint.
Right, and that, that is my take on the whole thing. In the end, the only that's the negative. That's the only negative I have about it too, because honestly, the card was good. The card was so much better than the production value of the show. And once again, like I said, they weren't playing to a huge crowd, but you don't always have to play to a huge crowd to still try and look good. And the presentation of what they were doing was not up to par with where they are as an organization or where they want to be as an organization to be more on point. And it wasn't even on par with the wrestling talent that they had out there. I mean, we got to see Samoa Joe and their champion, Magnus, in a cage, for God's sakes. Like, that's a headlining thing. They're building towards their biggest pay-per-view as an organization, and they kind of threw it felt like they were throwing it together. And I don't know what they do for their road tours, how many they go on, or how often they're out or anything, but it did feel a little disappointing in that regard. And I'm partially chalking it up to, at this point, I really want them to be able to compete with the WWE. And I'll get more into that in a few minutes, but I really want them to compete, and I think they have a talent pool that is shedding its dead weight. No offense to a few people who are leaving or anything, but they need to re-energize and charge back up with the leaders. They have a few veteran leaders that can help out, and then they have their young talent that they need to push in order to change their organization a bit and come out fighting rather than going quietly into the wind, which I think a lot of people think they are.
Yeah, that is definitely the vibe. I mean,
Yeah, absolutely. And this kind of felt like that in a way too. Like I said, it just doesn't look like they have a whole lot to put out there. And like I said, to come back to positivity on the subject, they did a good show, and they were very fan friendly. Starting with, they offered backstage passes right off the bat and said, "We're going to give so many of these away, and we're going to sell so many of these, and you get to go down into a room during the intermission where they had to build the cage because they didn't have a cage to lower, and so they had to build it. So they did an intermission while they did that, and I took the boys to that, and they had, four of the guys available. They had Bully Ray, James Storm, Ken Anderson, and Bobby Roode. So that was great. I mean, you don't always get access to guys of that caliber, you know what I mean? So it was good. And then at the end of the show, they let people stick around and take pictures either in the cage or next to the cage. I don't know. I didn't stick around because the line was ridiculous. I think almost everybody in that building stuck around to take pictures with Samoa Joe. So
yeah,
they made it a fan friendly. They gave of their time. I know before we got there, even they had if you purchased or whatever were given or whatever. I don't really know because like I said, we weren't there. But if you had a Velvet Sky action figure, you could go down into that room and she would sign it for you before the show even started. So she did her signing too. You know, and Gail Kim was on the card, wrestling Velvet. So, I mean, Gail Kim's no slouch. She's solid talent, been around the world kind of thing. So the card was great. I mean, to have access to that kind of talent at a show like that was fantastic. And they put on a hell of a show. They really did. Some of the matches were really, really good. Bully Ray and Anderson did a 2 out of 3 falls match. And they got the crowd into it, and it went over really well. I was impressed. But then when you looked around at how it looked, it just kind of it took away from all of it.
And I can say, I mean, I haven't been to a road show in a while, so I don't want to speak too much on it. But I know in the time that I, you know, had been going to those, the ring was definitely not in the shape you described. It was, hopefully it's not the same ring, but it could be.
So it's a definite possibility.
I would say, by the way you described it, it's definitely possible. But one thing I will say about TNA and that you've kind of said, and it's always been that way. They've always done the big, you know, photo thing after. And one time I had to wait for AJ to finish a photo session. So we just kind of had to stand in back waiting for him. And he was out there for almost an hour because everybody in the building, like you said, came to get their picture taken with him in the ring. And it was great, though. I mean, I thought that I love the way they treat the fans, and I love the way they have the talent interact with the fans. I think it is something that WWE doesn't, they only do really for big events.
Well, not to go back to that, the Samoa Joe thing was supposed to be part of the backstage pass that I paid $50 for. And it kind of made me a little peeved because then at the end of the show, they didn't give people that had paid that money first like access. They opened it up to the whole place and said for $20 you can get this picture. And I was like, well, I've already paid money to get that picture. And I already, you know, I was told that there were only going to be a limited number. So that's one of the reasons that I spent the money. And then at the end of the day, it was like, I'm not waiting in line for an hour to get a picture. Yeah. My kids were in no way going to wait for an hour to take a picture after the day they had and everything else. And I know it's not just for us, and plenty of people did wait and get their pictures. So I'm just kind of, you know, playing the violin over it a little bit. But yeah, they did great. As far as WWE goes, and once again, this isn't really a slight at TNA, but I don't really think WWE could get away with that at this point.
Oh, no.
Their talent that they would put out at a show in order to sell tickets, like I said, no offense to anybody, but they're over in a global way.
Absolutely. I mean, I didn't mean to compare it the way it came across, but
Right. I understand what you're saying. I've thought the same thing too. And I actually said it when we were walking out, you know, that's entertainment you can't get at, like, you don't get that access at a WWE show. And the reasons are what the reasons are, but it's still a fact. You know, you're not going to get, unless you go to WrestleMania and go to Access, but even then, you're fighting with, you know, a million people.
You really are. I mean, it's very structured. It's very, right. You know, they're behind a table, too. You're really not.
Yes.
You know, having the same access that you would have had, like, standing there and taking a picture with Joe.
Right. I stood and took a picture with Anderson, and I keep wanting to call him Kennedy. But that was the only picture I really wanted, and I got it. But the guy who took it for me didn't know how to use my camera phone, my iPhone, and it's all blurry. And I'm really disappointed because I really wanted that picture, and it's completely out of focus, and I can't figure out how to fix it because just not that good with things like that. But I gotta say this, and this can be the last thing I say on it. Bully Ray was amazing. That guy, he put on, he gave everything as far as his performance went. He came out and he like sucker punched Anderson and threw him into the ring steps. Cause like I said, it was a 2 out of 3 and he threw him into the ring and Anderson was out, you know, and the crowd's booing him and he starts yelling at Hebner's kid and who's the ref, you know, and just, he just played his part so amazingly. And the boys, my little 6-year-old twin boys, were so into it that he went to go say son of a bitch and Anderson cut him off and punched him before he could get bitch out. And my son looked at me and laughed and he's like, he was gonna say bitch.
Oh no.
And like, he was so into the story that he was, you know, he knew what he was going to say next and it impressed me so much. I had to laugh, you know, obviously I didn't want my 6-year-old cussing, but still he was so into the story and he was so engaged with that match that he was following what they were saying to that point that he knew what was next. Like he knew what was going on. And then when we got down backstage, which was right after that match, Bully was the first person that all the line went to. And he signed my stuff and the security guard, there was a security guard next to him trying to move people along. And he took my stuff to have him sign it. And he asked if we were going to take a picture. And I looked at Bully and I was like, no, they wouldn't do it even if I asked them to. And he looked at him and they were kind of looking back at him. And he said, you guys want a picture? And they just stood there in silence. And he's like, do you wanna? Come on, take a picture with me. Are you sure? Are you sure? Are you positive? You don't want a picture? Do you want a picture? Come on, you kind of do. You kind of want to take. And they just smiled and they looked at him and it completely opened them up. My kids are really shy and they didn't want to talk to anybody. They didn't even want to go down there. They kind of threw a fit about it and I made them anyway. And he totally opened them up and it was awesome because he does such a good job at being who he is as a professional wrestler, but he still took that moment to try and open up two shy kids at a show. And that was all I needed to love the entire night, to be honest. And then to pile on top of it, Storm also like got them to talk to him. He actually got them to interact with him by asking like who was the oldest and who was the toughest. And it was awesome. But that's all personal stuff. And now I've shared and I'm ready to move on.
All right. Well, it was cool personal stuff. So I was actually interested in hearing more. So, all right. Well, then let's roll it on into Raw. I'm not going to lie to you. This one's going to be you because I was pretty bored through the whole show.
As if I didn't just give enough of my TNA. Now I have to give my Raw too.
Kind of, sort of, because I have nothing good to say. It was such a blank out for me. I phoned watching that in completely. Not intentionally. I just couldn't find anything to get excited about.
Okay, well, I'm going to get this out of the way real quick because the last two shows have kind of been taken over by the CM Punk issue and what's going on. So I'm just going to get it out of the way real quick and say I felt like at parts of the show the crowd had been muted as far as the sound mixing went in the live feed to where they didn't sound like they were actually in the same building as the performers. And I think that was a direct result of them being a little bit more rowdy than the previous two shows. So I think you, Miss Critic of crowd reaction, can give them a bit of credit for being, you know, a little bit more of a rowdy crowd.
I was impressed by the crowd early on, but it was very clear that there was some sort of filtering going on, because like you said, it did sound like they were in another building. And that also then was kind of the takeaway for me, where it was just like, you know what, if you're going to go, if it's going to be this extreme, I'm not going to give you my full attention.
Which is why I wanted to get it all out of the way. And I'll do my best not to mention the name CM Punk again the rest of this analysis of the show.
Okay, but wait, before you step off it, I do have to say one thing.
Okay.
Because it was brought to my attention by two different people today to listen or watch a YouTube video. I never got to it, but apparently Michael Cole said something at the beginning of the show.
Yes.
And it's yes. out there, and it's not like it's somebody heard him say.
They pulled it.
Oh, I wish I'd watched it now. Damn it.
I went to go look at that at like 3 o'clock this afternoon and it's pulled.
Damn it. I wish I would have now, but I was just kind of, I was in the middle of 40 things today and I never.
The quote that I read was that he said, how about just go home?
Whoa.
Or something like that. Like,
or it was just go away.
Yeah. It was something to that effect. And I don't know if he was directing that like towards the crowd or if he was turning it on, you know, what CM Punk did.
Well, when I heard that, my interpretation of it and the way I thought he must have been saying it was, you know, like for CM Punk, why doesn't this just go away? Like this whole thing just go away already. Right. And that was my take on
which is ridiculous. the idea that someone of his stature and not just that, but his connectivity to the fans, like if they don't understand, if Michael Cole can't understand how the crowd was connected to CM Punk, then he doesn't even know where he works. He doesn't understand. And I can't imagine that that's the case. He's worked there for long enough, and I am in no position to criticize Michael Cole. But, I mean, honestly, the idea that will just go away is ludicrous.
No, absolutely. But in a devil's advocate side of it, I can see also where, and I'm not approving it because, you know, I'm a Punk fan, but I think that why I think he's saying it is probably, I mean, he's inundated with it every single time he talks.
No, I understand. Yeah.
So
I understand. And I understand some of the talent getting sick of it and everybody just kind of wanting that to die, because what are they, nobody is responsible for what's happening other than a guy who's not there and a guy who's not on TV. You know, in Mr. McMahon and the guy not there being CM Punk. Those two people are the people responsible for this situation and fixing it and everything else. So neither one of those people are part of anything going on TV or in the ring or anything like that. So cheering for them or chanting for them, you know, it doesn't really serve much of a purpose. It just doesn't. Now, when they get to Chicago, if this situation has not been resolved, you know, that's a different story. All bets are off at that point.
Oh,
but we've talked about that already. And
and honestly, I mean, when the show does happen, it's going to be the big, I know for me, it'll be the big focus, because that's going to be a huge part of my in-person experience. So
it would be if I were there too.
Yeah,
for me.
I think no matter. I mean, I think even watching it on TV, it's going to be a huge piece of what's going to happen, because it's not been a secret either that Chicago is making it very clear. You know, people from Chicago who are talking about it are making very clear that they will be at the show and they're going to express how they feel. Yeah. So this is the most public crowd takeover to, you know, it's not going to be small. So if they're practicing muting the crowd like it appeared they did at the show, I won't be surprised if it doesn't come through at home as much as it'll be in person.
Now, to be fair, that this show doesn't take place for 4 weeks.
No, I know. Actually, no,
so,
3 weeks.
3 weeks, I'm sorry. So there's still a lot of time for things to flush out.
Oh, absolutely.
And I said for the first time today to someone that my feelings have sort of swayed in the possibility. For the past 2 weeks, I've said that it 100% can't be a work, blah, blah, blah. And I have a creeping doubt now, and I don't know why, but I mean, I can't explain it in less than 5,000 words, but there's a doubt. Okay, seriously, moving along. I gotta get away from that.
All right.
So, Betty White.
Okay, I'm gonna say it. For a host of Raw, and you know, I mean, I've seen them bring on hosts of the show before. I love Betty White. I get it. She's, you know, a darling, but she had all of 5 minutes of camera time, if that.
My thing was, if you're in LA, which they were, is she really, if you want a star on your show, is that really the route you have to go?
It was such a stupid idea. It was so lame, and I didn't get it. And when Big Show walked out with her, I admit that was when I just kind of, I literally just put my head down and started watching it laying down. I knew I was not going to, I could already tell the impression had been laid and I wasn't going to enjoy that show at all.
Well, I gave it until Triple H totally cut her off and came out, and then Stephanie had to hug her and act like they were best friends from back on the block, which was fucking hilarious to me. And then so Triple H comes out and clarifies things, which cracks me up because he doesn't want people to think that he did a yes chant for any other reason than to try and bury the CM Punk chants. I mean, like, I'm starting to think that they have no fucking idea what they're doing. Okay, see, and just talking about this, this is my impression of the show. You talk about it being boring. I saw it differently. I saw it as being infuriating. There were so many moments watching Monday Night Raw this week where I wanted to throw something through my TV, and I literally hated myself for being such a stupid mark that I continued to watch it. And part of it was only because I was going to talk about it here with you, to be honest. If I didn't have a reason to watch it, I probably would have turned it off because it was so infuriating. Like, that's really the only word I can think of to describe it. From the very kickoff, they come out and say that Daniel Bryan's not going to wrestle. And part of that, I think, is storyline, and they're trying to build Daniel Bryan in the role that CM Punk was going to play going into WrestleMania. So they're coming down strangely on him and the Kane situation, but it's transparent. People, informed people, that is, know that that role was meant for somebody else. Okay. So it's forced because that's not where Daniel Bryan was supposed to be on the card going into Elimination Chamber or WrestleMania. So they have to force it. And it comes off cheesy and stupid, and Triple H doesn't give a shit. It's so obvious that he does not care to be doing what he's doing. I don't think he wants to come out every week and talk. Now, there isn't a part of me that believes he does. Because he phones it in.
I agree with you. He doesn't look like he's enjoying himself. He doesn't.
Dude, I've seen Triple H give good performances. Yeah, absolutely. You know what I mean? I'm enough of a fan at this point, and I know I'm not the only one, and I know maybe I'm coming off a little arrogant and whatever at this point, but it really did make me angry, so now talking about it's making me angry. I've seen Triple H do fantastic things in the ring and with the mic. What he's doing right now is so far from good, let alone fantastic. And it's not progressing storylines, and it's not pushing the authority as a big bad heel figure. There are no heels in the WWE right now. None. There are none. There are no people that the audience hate because they're supposed to hate them and because there's Sergeant Slaughter lighting a Hulkamania t-shirt on fire talking about loving Saddam Hussein, or Roddy Piper coming out and kicking Cyndi Lauper. You know what I mean? There's no heels in the WWE right now. And it sucks. It sucks. And you got Batista, who the fans were booing the shit out of at the Royal Rumble, and he's coming out and destroying Alberto Del Rio, who the people don't know if they care about or not, who just finished burying Dolph Ziggler, who, guess what? The fans love. Dolph Ziggler is so over, and he has been for like 2 years, and they have he jobs to Del Rio, who jobs to Batista, two guys that the crowd could give a shit about. Like, it doesn't progress a storyline. Batista's not wrestling Alberto Del Rio at WrestleMania. Oh, they're going to have a match at Elimination Chamber. Talk about a card filler. It's not going anywhere. It means nothing. Tell me one person right now that they know what to do with.
Oh, none. Absolutely
that,
none.
That's where my line at this point has been completely crossed. I don't feel like there's a single person on that roster that they know what they're doing with. And I'm not usually a fantasy booker fan. I don't like to be negative about. I like to be a fan. I like to watch and enjoy it. And I mean that in all honesty. This isn't normal for me to be this upset and be like, creative's fucking it up. And I don't think it's creative's fault. I honestly think that at some point right now, they don't know what they're doing for this WrestleMania. And it's so obvious when you watch it on TV that there are so many people that have no direction whatsoever. Just none. And it's killing the programming. Absolutely killing the program. Next to Daniel Bryan, who got the biggest pop Monday night, in your opinion?
Man, that is, I would say Ziggler.
It was Antonio Cesaro.
Oh, shit, it was.
Out of anybody else on the show, Antonio Cesaro got the biggest crowd reaction. Who is on a quote-unquote heel tag team with a extremely heel manager. He's probably the only legit heel right now, honestly, is Zeb Coulter. That guy is actually hated because he says ridiculous things, and the crowd boos him because he says ridiculous things. But the We the People thing is over. People do that, and people love Cesaro because he's a talented wrestler who has worked his way up from indies, by the way, and he's over. And what is he supposed to do? What are they doing with him? Well, he's going to be in the Elimination Chamber. Yeah, and he's going to win, right?
No.
Like, just... Usa.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's bad. That's a bad sign.
It really is. And you want to know something else that grinds my gears? They ran with the Wyatts because the Wyatts are arguably one of the more over things right now. Obviously, Daniel Bryan is it and whatever, but the Wyatts are very, very up there. They are very over, and they're doing their job as being creepy. And Bray is looking more and more after what he did at the Rumble with Daniel Bryan. He looks like he could be legit, and just everything about them is great right now. It's one of the only great things that they have on their programs right now. So they run them out there twice and do the we're here thing twice. And it's, if that doesn't reek of desperation, I don't know what it is.
Like I said, I had no use for the show. I watched it because I knew we would talk about it. But even when it ended, I was like, yeah, I got nothing. That was the worst show. I was so checked out. I just could not get myself into it. I couldn't even tell you right now who fought, for the most part, who fought what match. If I stop and think, I could. But it was just so... Well,
John Cena had to win the main event.
And again... watching it and knowing that was going to happen,
I walked away. I literally walked away and did not watch that match. I came back and I saw that he'd won, and it was just like, oh, wow. Because who didn't predict that shit?
And that's been my biggest complaint and why I say I'm so bored with it, though. Because
no swerve, no nothing.
Nope.
Just a clean win in the middle of the ring like he said he was going to do, because... that's where we are right now. Well, let's keep riding that fucking train. And you know what? I think this is what bugs me the most. As a fan, I want to sit back and say, you know what? This could happen, and this could happen, and they could be building towards this, and they're trying to piss us off. At the Royal Rumble, I said this to you after when we did our very first podcast, which was right after, and I said, you know, they're building it up to make us angry, so when the heroes rise, it's much bigger and blah, blah, blah. You just got to have a little faith. It's gone. I gave them the benefit of the doubt coming out of the Royal Rumble, and in 3 weeks, they have destroyed any faith I had whatsoever. Just destroyed it. It's over. I have zero faith. And I'm an asshole because I can't wait to pay them money for that network. I just can't wait to give them money. And earlier I was looking at tickets to go up to freaking Elimination Chamber because that's how big of a sucker I am. Because I love it. I love professional wrestling. I love a lot of guys on that roster. Obviously the one I love the most isn't on the roster right now, but still, like, and I'm still going to watch it, and I'm just going to be pissed, and I'm going to be that typical internet wrestling freaking community fan that is always angry and always thinking they could do it better. And I don't, by the way, I don't think I could do it better. I don't sit here and do any of this because I think I can do it better. I'm at this point because as a fan, I'm really angry. As a fan, I'm just angry.
But you kind of said it, though. I mean, I'm just going to call you out for it. You're still going to give them your money.
Yep.
So at the end of the day.
Yeah, and I'm willing to admit it. I'm willing to admit it.
And that's kind of where it falls, right? I mean, and you're not the only one. I mean, there's millions of you out there.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm going to be one of those people ordering the stupid network too. And I'm talking about I'm falling asleep during shows. Like, come on. But yet I will be there and I'll be ridiculously supporting it. And, you know, I feel you. I get what you're saying. I know that you're more angry. I'm just more kind of like, whatever. I'm done with it. I don't, like, I'm not going to invest any more energy. If you're I'm in the place of, I'm not going to invest the energy back and really give a shit if you're not giving a shit to what I think. And that's maybe that's point. Selfish.
No. That's the way it should be, though. That right there is exactly the way it should be. If they're not going to put energy into it, then you shouldn't put energy back into it either. For me, it's money because I feel like I can't not put, or I'm unable to not put energy into it. I spend a lot of time on a daily basis. You know, by the time this network comes out, I'm going to have like 60% of the library that they're putting out there already, you know, watched. Because for some reason I've wanted to watch every WrestleMania over the last couple of weeks or, you know, last month or whatever. And I'm pretty close to finishing up. I mean, it's just, I love the product. I just don't like what they're doing to it right now. It just feels wrong. There's just nothing about it fits the mold of what it's supposed to be. I don't cling to the Attitude Era. Although it was awesome. I don't wish for it to return. I want to see something new. I want to see them, you know, be who they are. But right now it just feels like there's no direction and they don't know what they're doing with 3/4 of their roster. They know what to do with John Cena. Give him a W. they know what to do with Randy Orton. Keep titles on him, despite the fact that he's ridiculously boring.
You know, but here's the thing. Even though I say I'm bored, I'm still going to be turning it on every week. So again, you know, you can go back and forth about being angry, being bored, you know, pissed that they're not doing this. Hopefully they get their shit together because this is not the way you want to head into WrestleMania, in my opinion.
Yeah. We haven't even touched that yet. We're 2 weeks away from the last pay-per-view before WrestleMania. So we're, what, 6-7 weeks away from WrestleMania or something like that? This is their push. This is when everything is supposed to feel awesome.
Yeah, the mold is supposed to be set already.
It usually
is. Yeah, I mean, you know where it's heading.
Yeah, absolutely. It should be. And once again, I don't play the fantasy booker. I'm not looking to even get into any of that. I just feel like it should have a buzz. You should be excited about WrestleMania at this point. You should be excited about, you know, what they're doing, and the storylines should be starting to fill some sort of role and making you feel good about that you're going to get a good payoff. The point of WrestleMania is supposed to be that the wrestlers and the fans get a payoff for all the work they did throughout the year, right?
Mm-hmm. It's the big show.
It's not that right now. What it is a bunch of hired guns coming in because they have big names and can sell tickets, and there's no story. And this year is going to be the worst for that, I think. I think in the end, the way it looks, you know, they haven't even brought Taker back yet.
And that's why I'm saying the mold is generally set at this point. And it's non-existent at this point. I don't know. I wonder if he will come back.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not even going to pretend to know, but I guess the assumption is yes. I mean, it's WrestleMania.
Yeah, but eventually it has to come to an end.
But to come to an end without a resolution makes no sense. To just not have him, dude, can you imagine? I can't even imagine the backlash of ignoring no Undertaker at WrestleMania.
Hey, they're becoming real good at ignoring things. I won't be shocked.
Fair enough.
I'm sorry. It will not. I don't think he would not be there. I believe he'll be there in some form. No. But I don't know that. I honestly just, when does it end? Right? I mean, when does it really end, and what is the end? Because
when he loses to Dolph Ziggler. When it comes to that, I don't feel like the streak needs to stand. I feel like it does need to end. And he needs to pass it on to somebody. And at this point, if I had to choose one guy on the roster, it would be Dolph Ziggler. So, but once again, I still have faith that he's going to rise back up from the pile of shit that they have heaped on top of him.
He's got a lot of digging, my friend.
Yep.
It's a bad scene right now for him because it's almost borderline disrespectful. It really is. It's just not. It's sometimes like, is he on the show because they don't have any, you know what I mean? Like, I don't get it. They bring 500 people to these shows.
No, there's punishment being doled out on him. And it depends what dirt sheets you read and what you believe, but he's being punished. And he'll get out from underneath it. He's not the first wrestler to be punished, and he won't be the last. It's how things are done. But I'm waiting for him to get his reward for sticking it out and jobbing with class, because that guy sells everything.
Oh, he really does put all of himself into it.
Oh, dude, he knows he's going out there to job, and he does it fantastically.
All right, we're done. Is there anything else you want to talk about before I hit the stop sign?
Nope, I'm good.
All right. Just want to say thanks to my co-host, Seth Knupp. I'm Chrissy Rios, and remember, you can follow us both on Twitter at Fearless Fandom and The Quinn Bee. Also, if you would like to... send any questions or comments to us on Twitter, just hit Quinn Media and use the hashtag QuinnCast, and we'll answer any questions or comment on anything you have to say. Thanks for joining, and tune in next week for another Quincast Weekly Wrap-Up.